Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for September 28th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm chilling. You know, it's been busy, but hanging in there. Getting over my jet lag, finally. How are you doing?
I'm all right, but I'm having, you know, visions of rugby balls being kicked in my head for some reason. I don't know why. I don't watch it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the guys who are involved. Why is this happening to me?
I don't know. Make it stop. When a certain being mentions that the Rugby World Cup is the third biggest sporting event in the world, you know something's wrong with the universe.
That's something I want to boot too. All right, well, there was great baseball action in NPB this weekend, so let's get started on the show. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Randy Messenger of the Tigers, and we're going to talk about the pennant races and a whole lot more, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, well, John and I were both at Tokyo Dome this past week, but I got there first.
You broke the tape.
That's right. Well, I broke
those long strides.
I broke more than the tape.
Yeah, you broke the tape recorder. Right.
And I got to talk to Randy Messenger the day before he started. He was very gracious. You know, he ran the gauntlet of the Japanese media, and he gave us some of his time. And he was very, well, as usual, Randy's very frank, and he doesn't talk a lot unless he has something he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did he have a lot of things he wanted to say. So let's hear what Randy's got to say for himself. Our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast, Round 2, is Randy Messenger.
How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Okay, well, hopefully, I can't give you any run support, but we'll be pulling for you. It's been kind of a tough slog, and I not just this year. I think you've been the poster boy for lack of support.
Absolutely, yeah. 6 years, run support hasn't really been there. It's few and far in between.
Yeah.
But like I always say, the only thing I control is my pitching. So.
You're hitting.
Yeah, if I can hit, you know, if they allow me to hit is what I should say.
Okay.
If they allow me to hit, then yeah, I can control that. But
Have you upped your work in bat BP?
No, the thing is, when I practice more, I get worse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
that's
actually
counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's actually really crazy. Like, you can ask both of my interpreters that I had in the past 6 years. When I practice in the batting cage and practice, I get in the game and I'm worse off.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. And then when I don't practice and I start seeing the ball better and reacting to it better.
Thinking too much?
I don't know. Like I said, it's wild. You know, I wish I knew.
You got to stop going to those hitters meetings.
Yeah, I stay out of those. The pitchers ones are bad enough.
Okay, first of all, now you had this season has been full of speed bumps.
Yeah,
and potholes.
Ups and downs, for sure.
So how's your working relationship with the team? Has it been patched up and repaired a little bit from how it started?
I don't know. I'd have to ask the team that, you
okay.
know.
Nothing's changed with you.
Yeah, you can't hold any grudges.
Sure.
It is what it is, you know, like I've told the press many a times, it should have never happened in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I've done for this team and the
right.
organization, you know, it's pretty crappy the way they just threw me off like nothing. But it was actually my decision to stay down longer than I did.
Okay.
So they only wanted me to stay down for one of the guys' starts, and I said, no, that's not fair to him. You know, give him another start. And if he doesn't do well then, give him another start. Then you get to see what you actually have out of him.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, now let me ask a couple of things about this season. And now we were talking about the defense, and I mentioned that second half the Tigers' defense has been looking better
right.
on paper
right.
in terms of the numbers and the
right.
results in terms of catching balls and turning them into outs. But somehow when you're pitching, what is this?
I don't know. They seem to find more holes, or they just hit them in the right spot in the infield.
I think that's
know?
More likely.
But a lot of the times I think it's just been my luck, you know,
okay.
being over here. It's
okay.
one of those things. You know, I make a great pitch. They get a piece of the bat on the ball and finds a hole.
Okay, well, there's not a lot you can do about it.
No, exactly.
So what can you do about it except, you know, execute your next pitch?
Well, that's what I say. As long as I make my pitch and they get a base hit that way, you know,
yeah.
and bloop it in a certain hole or something, I mean, I got to tip my hat to the guy,
yeah,
you know?
But it's hard. How
It's frustrating.
It's hard not to be frustrated and lose your command on the next pitch.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, but it's part of the game. And this late in the season, you know, that's when you got to sack up and just, all right.
As I was saying,
calm down, relax, and let's focus on this next guy.
Now, speaking of it being this late in the season, now you're in a real tight pennant race.
Right.
You and the Giants and Tigers, you and the Giants and Swallows.
And even the Carp now are coming up behind.
And the Carp have been in this spot where any of those teams could win the pennant in a couple of days. Now, that's fine, and it's a great pennant race for the fans, but you're a fan half the time.
Right.
How does that feel when you can't go out in the field and do anything?
It's frustrating. That's why I like pitching on the 4 days rest, because then I get to go out there and actually contribute more often. You know, watching the race go back and forth, it's frustrating. You know, you want to be able to contribute and help the team win. And like I said, the only way I could do it is pitching on 4 days rest.
Now, you're a competitor, and I know this because I've seen you here. When you see your teammate throw a pitch in a situation, you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, why'd you do that? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can always second-guess things.
Sure.
Because you can throw that same exact pitch the next time you face the guy in the same exact situation, right, and he'll get an out, you know? So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's an easy game to second-guess. Absolutely. It's an easy game to second-guess.
Okay. Now, speaking of second-guessing, now, I remember last year when you were on the podcast, you talked about Shintaro Fujinami and his four-seamer, and it was like almost like the week after that you said that we started to see the four-seamer more.
Right, a lot more.
It was weird. And then the playoffs, it's like, oh, you mean I can throw it the fastball this
exactly
way?
Exactly. Yeah, I think he can the two-seamer.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him throw it this year.
Wow.
So I think he finally took some advice. And
he's had quite a good year.
Yeah, he's been doing real well. You know, obviously, things happen for him a little bit different. The dude has how many unearned runs, and scorekeepers are always helping him out.
Oh, well, we won't go there.
At
least not too much.
Yeah, not too much.
But just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to give him.
But yeah, he's had a good season. And the team plays well for him when he pitches, so it's a lot easier to get the run support and calm down a pitch. So.
True.
He's had best of both worlds this year, for sure.
Yeah. So, but he is definitely a step above what he was last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, when you watch him develop, you know, how far can he go as a pitcher? I mean, he's got all obviously the basic tools.
Yeah. There's a lot he still has to do. He has to still gain more weight. I think he has to get in better condition. Mm-hmm. You know, he's only 21 years old, and the way he's pitching now, I don't feel he's going to be able to last much longer if he doesn't get in better shape.
Get more strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's the young boy strength. We all had it, you know. And,
well, not all of us.
Well, yeah. Well, athletes, I should say. We all had it at that age.
speaking to a select group there, not the couch potatoes.
Athletes, I should say.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's pitching on that young boy strength right now.
Okay.
And if he doesn't build on that, I don't know if the ceiling's going to be too much higher.
Okay.
I think he might plateau if he doesn't get stronger.
Okay, so he's in a crucial situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now, age-wise.
Yeah.
Have you said anything about that to him?
I've talked to him a lot of times, but like I said, it's...
Well, the four-seamer worked.
Well, that was the only thing that worked.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm just a Baka Gai Jing, you know, so...
you and me both.
Right, so, I mean, I just try, and I deal with all the pitchers. You know,
okay.
I try to give confidence in any insight that I have that I've picked up along the way in my years of playing. So
any of them say, well, thanks, Randy, but if we talk to you too much, maybe they won't score for
right,
us.
Right, exactly. Your bad luck might rub off on us.
All right. So anyway, you're coming down to the wire here, and you're going to pitch a couple of plays. If you keep going on 4 days rest, you might get more starts than
normal. Yeah, I might get three to end the season. It all depends on how close the race is with the Carp, you know, in our last game of the season.
Now, this team showed that it could win in the playoffs last year.
Absolutely.
And obviously that's got to be a big boost instead of, here we go to the playoffs
right,
again.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And you've been through that.
Yeah. Until we got to the Nihon series, you know, that was a little frustrating. But
it's going to be frustrating.
We showed we can win in the playoffs, which is good, especially in a hostile environment. We came in here and took the four games that we played here away from the Giants, so it was nice.
Okay, let's say you get the Japan series again. Let's say you got the Hawks again. Well, that's a mountain.
Yeah, but that's all right. They're beatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they're not – they're not like
– good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. They're not like – superhuman.
They're
you know?
Not.
They have a really good lineup and they have a good pitching staff.
But they got to play.
Yeah, you still got to play the game.
All right.
So.
Okay. Well, good luck. Good luck here. Good luck there. See you in the postseason.
Absolutely.
And take care. Best
thanks.
Of luck.
Appreciate you.
Okay. Hopefully you get some runs.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks much, bud.
Well, thank you again, Randy, for bailing me out.
You know, yeah, thanks, buddy.
Bud.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, I saw him. I was there on the day he was pitching. So I didn't know because I've really never been there on a day that he pitches. So he was walking into the dugout, and I said, hey, what's happening, Randy? And I think he just kind of walked by. I was talking to Matt Merton, so I didn't really pay attention whether he answered or not, but I don't think he did, but... You know, I said, "Oh, okay, one of those guys." I didn't know. I hadn't been out there
You didn't know he was pitching.
I didn't know he didn't talk on a day that he did.
Oh, although that is he was pitching. Pretty much the norm.
Right. Right. Right.
Usually, I say good luck and leave it at that.
Yeah, I just said hi, and.
So anyway, I know you had a couple of those questions in there. John was very thoughtful and sent me a couple of questions for Randy. And
a couple, he says, joking.
Well, you sent me, okay, three. Okay.
I sent you a whole page worth of questions.
Well, they were long questions, but was there more than that? Anyway, I'm going to go looking back and count. So what did you take out of his answers? He definitely had the volume turned on.
Yeah, actually, I had talked to the beat writer for the Hanshin Tigers, and I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, but the beat writer told me that essentially Randy doesn't think he'll be going back to the Tigers next season. So to hear what he said, the words that he used, the language that he used, and we know he had a bad stretch with them early in the season, particularly when he was sent down to the farm, and... You know, I can't say it was an overreaction because we don't have all the facts, but this is typical behavior by NPB teams. It's not a huge surprise if you don't do exactly what they want or expect or have come to get from you or whatever the reason might be. They'll send you to the farm.
Right.
And so when you asked him about how the relationships is and he says, well, I don't know, you'd have to ask the team that. And the words he used and the phrasing he used, like, you know, they treated me pretty crappy and threw me off like nothing. That doesn't sound like a positive relationship or a good working relationship to me. And I felt the animosity, let's just call it animosity. I don't want to make it bigger than it is because I don't know.
Animosity seems actually a little strong. I think irritation or lack of understanding. He doesn't quite understand what they're going on about. And I think that's what it is. It's that sort of like, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it was vitriol, but it was not. It was not.
Vitriol's a word that came to mind when I was listening to him.
Well, I think that's just as strong, maybe stronger than animosity for sure. But I don't know. It just there was. He's bitter. I mean,
there was some bitterness there, and I think that's obvious.
That lovey-dovey relationship kind of thing is gone, and you know,
you have to have a lovey-dovey relationship before it can be gone. I'm not certain that he had one with the team.
And you know, when you talk to him about run support, it seems
we've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, but in this particular case, it did seem like it was a little deeper than before, to me. No. Not, you know, before it's been, ha ha, I don't get runs, ha ha ha. But this time it seemed like, I think he made three references to it and you guys talked about 8 minutes. So that seemed to be a lot. I mean, there just seems to be something going on there.
Well, it's kind of the conversation we've been having for the last, the last 5.5 years has been about that. I mean, he has had it, you know, at times, but yeah, I mean, it seems that we talk about it. Now what he has, and just to be accurate, and I think why it hurts so much, it's not that his run support is the worst. It just seems like the worst because the Tigers get shut out more when he pitches than when anybody else pitches.
Yeah. Yeah. And we joked about it, and I think I sent you the question. I said, hey, what is his run support since he had talked about it? What is it this year, and what did you find?
Well, what I found was his run support's not is this year it's worse than normal.
You mean worse than the past years?
For him. Normally it's about 3.4 runs per game or 3.2, and this is for the whole game. Now, you we'd like to know, and as he pointed out, you know, sometimes they'll score after he's out of the game and no longer on the record, the pitcher of record, but I don't really have an easy way to go back. I mean, I have all those innings.
Right.
You know, I know all the runs in all the innings, but I don't have a neat way of extracting how many runs were scored when he was the pitcher of record.
Right.
I mean, that's more work than I wanted to do. And, you know, I spent about a half hour working out that problem. But anyway, what I found was surprised me is that while he's the third worst supported starting pitcher in Japan this year.
In Japan?
Well, I mean, of anybody who's thrown like 100 innings.
Okay, minimum 100 innings. Okay.
Yeah.
Starting pitcher, right?
Yeah, the worst stick than him was Kazuhisa Makita.
Of the Seibu Lions.
And so anyway, so he's third. But what I noticed is that on the Tigers, he's number, you know, over since I've had these run numbers from 2007. That in fact he's the worst supported pitcher in Japan who's currently pitching.
Okay.
Is a teammate of his,
and?
Who is lefty Minoru Iwata.
Yeah,
Iwata in the previous 6 or 7 years had been shut out about 11 times. Messenger had been shut. The Tigers had been shut out when Messenger pitched 19 times, and Iwata they'd been shut out when Iwata started 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
But Iwata. The Tigers had scored exactly one run in 33 of Iwata's starts before this season.
33.
So he gets one run about as often as he gets 2, 3, and 4 runs put together. Okay. And it was ironic that was Saturday, and then Saturday he started for the Tigers, and bingo, one run.
One run, that's right. And they lost 2-1. Yeah, that's amazing.
So you know, it's not just him. It just seems like just him.
It's just Randy, yeah.
But he is correct. Fujinami gets great run support. It was kind of interesting, the pitchers in NPB who got great run support. One of them is Shohei Ohtani. You know, it's like, geez, the guy who really needs it.
Yeah. Although on Sunday he got only 2 runs. Right.
And when you look at the guys who have great run support and their 1-loss records, it's fairly obvious to see what a huge impact it makes. The guys who have the best run support all have really good records, and the guys who have lousy run support are all under 500.
Yeah, but that's the way it goes, because that's how you win games. So yeah, that's interesting. That was good stuff, and I'm glad you looked that up. Now, and he talked about Shintaro Fujinami, and he went to great.
We always bring up Shintaro Fujinami with Randy because he's lots of opinions.
Well, and because I think he's trying to help the kid develop, and that's what you need. You need experienced veterans on the team who guide those younger players and give them what Randy said was insight, and try to lend them some insight into pitching. And I guess, I don't know, more weight, that's not the thing that I thought about when I thought about Shintaro Fujinami. I was thinking, yeah, he's got to fill out a little bit, but I thought he was developing nicely. In fact, when Randy went down to the minors was when Fujinami seemed to step up and say, okay, well, I'm gonna try to take this rotation and lead it while the big guy is down on the farm here. Because the players know, they're not stupid. They know who the best pitcher out there on the team is, and they try to follow the lead or get in line behind him or whatever it is that they do. And Fujinami stepped up. Yeah, I'm surprised that that's the thing. In fitness level, I guess you can see him puffing and puffing at times out there, and that he is using the young boy's strength. Yeah, that was a good phrase.
I think a lot of that is, I think, I would speculate that a lot of that is being flexible, you know, being young and flexible and having a little more, you know, fewer aches and pains. You can get away with a lot more.
Oh, to me, it just seemed like, you know, even though he doesn't work out as much as the other guys, that he finds the strength late in games to keep going. And that's what I interpreted it as, the young man's strength, because, you know, if you don't work out, as we both know, you get tired, you tend to get tired a little faster when you're older. And so that's what I thought it was, but I guess it's open to interpretation.
It's really interesting because he's been there and he has that perspective, and you know, it's listening to guys like Randy and listening to guys like Jeremy Powell who've gone from the guy, you know, that guy to somebody 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years later, and seeing, and they've seen the transition that they went through, and they're, you know, people in the minors, and especially, you know, when you talk to Jeremy Powell over the winter, and he was talking about being a pitching coach,
mm-hmm.
you know, I thought it's like, you know, you see this thing come in full circle, and you see that these people's perspective, it's always improving, always gaining, you know, gaining knowledge. It was really interesting. And I thought Randy's, you know, effort to, you know, as, or, you know, his stated mission, you know, to improve the team on a, you know, on an educational informational level was really interesting. But, you know, I think part of the issue with the Tigers is that I'm always confused by them. They're always, it's like they have a book that says, this is what the Tigers do and this is what the Tigers don't do. And the foreign players are essentially there to be stars or scapegoats. And there's not a lot in between.
I'm looking at Randy and I'm wondering now, does he end up, and obviously if the beat writer said he's not going to be back, I think they got the information from somewhere. Where does he go? Because I think I still see him in NPB next year.
Well, he's been one of the pitchers that major league scouts have been keeping an eye on, so I wouldn't be half surprised if he goes back to the States.
That's interesting, but I was at work the other day, and I was talking to somebody about that fact, and they said, well, if he's not happy where he is and he wants to go somewhere, and you've got guys like Aaron Pareda, who is, you know, we don't know if he's going to return to the Giants or not, and then Miles Michaelis, who really has an eye on the return to the major leagues, then the Giants look like a really appealing place to me because they'll offer a lot of money.
Sure, but they're not going to be... I'll tell you, a team for him would be more like, you know where I see him ending up is SoftBank. they got the money to spend. They're going to keep him happy. You know, the Giants will throw the money, but it's more the Tigers are sort of like half-assed regimentation, and the Giants are the real thing regimentation. You get the full, you get all the benefits, you get less hassle with the Giants, you get more positives and less, you know, there's more carrot and less stick with the Giants, but there's still a stick.
There's still a stick, yeah, I like that.
You know, the carrot's bigger, but the stick's still there.
Yeah, the stick's still there. Yeah, I see that. That's be something to keep an eye on in the...
But for him, if I were him, and I had to pick a team, you know, it would be Yakult, or SoftBank, or Nippon Ham.
I was thinking, yeah, the big stadiums. Nagoya Dome would be a good place for him to pitch. I thought, Hiroshima would be a good place for him to pitch,
sure,
as well.
Sure, maybe. I don't think Hiroshima wouldn't be saying, well, let's spend some money.
I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about stadiums.
Ah, well.
I'm not talking about money.
Yeah, well, then throw
money.
Chiba in there, too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Tigers. I'm going to call them the soap opera known as the Stripes Turn. And I'm sorry for all the millennials out there who don't get that reference, but too bad. There's just drama all over the place surrounding this organization, and maybe every organization, but it seems like it counts double with the Tigers.
It does, because as I, you know, said before, and the reporters all tell me it's true, that basically the newspapers run the team.
Right. So I think, honestly, it's probably been a tremendous mental grind from day one of the season, you know, in the preseason, and just to talk to Matt Merton the other day, I mean, he really looked mentally tired more than he did physically tired. But, you know, they got swept in those two games at Tokyo Dome this past week, and they really looked like they were going to fold up, and then they lost, I think they lost 2 to Hiroshima down there. I don't know. They lost 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like it's 130 games of obviously it hasn't been this way, but it's like 130 games of 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 games is what it looked like on their faces, you know. And I don't know, the sheer weight of every pitch and every decision in the games, and, you know, the teams have been really close in the Central League. I mean, at one point, we're looking at the Bay Stars, who were in first place at the All-Star break. Now, I know it wasn't that much. They didn't have much of a lead. It wasn't that far to fall to fifth place or sixth place, wherever they finish. But still, mm-hmm. It looked like everybody took a turn holding time in first place, and it's just this grind that they have gone through this whole season made everybody tired.
Well, I think that's true to some degree, but I think what you have to look at is, you started this discussion with the Tigers, and I think that's appropriate, you know, for the Tigers, because the Tigers' expectations, you know, the Hiroshima Carp have gotten the full blast of expectation this year, which is new for them. But this is normal for the Tigers. And the Tigers players know that there's not a whole lot of difference between the foreign Tigers and the Japanese Tigers, between being the star or being the reason the team failed. Mm-hmm. It's a very fine line, and the team pretty much picks and chooses, you know, who they want to be the scapegoats, or the media steers them towards. And there's a whole pile of scapegoats, you know, down there right now.
Pile of scapegoat carcasses.
Yeah, it's like they're lining them up. Yeah. So I have to think it's the pressure that comes with playing with the Tigers. You know, if you lose, it's not just going to be a loss. It's going to be, are people going to bully my kids tomorrow at school because the papers are going to be writing bad things about me?
Yeah, and I would think, you know, you would have a lot less of that if your team was in the top three most of the season. And I mean, they weren't most of the first half. I think they climbed their way up there, maybe May or something like that. I don't remember when they got into first place, but, you know, they were up in the first place in the second half here, and they were looking good. They were looking good for a championship for a while about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, so I could see if they were down in fifth, sixth place, you know, languishing at the bottom of the standings, how there was a lot of stress and there'd be a lot of finger pointing and all this other kind of stuff. That's not the case. They're actually winning. They have a winning record, and
they had that remarkable, you know, I went into this overly long last week, but, you know, they had that remarkable record for how badly, you know, how difficult the difficulty they had scoring runs and the ease with which they were giving them up. They'd had a very respectable record they were lucky to be out of last place for most of the season.
Well,
they should have been. They were played like a last place team that won a lot of games, who lucked into a lot of games. And, you know, they have improved since, I mentioned. They're a better team than they were in the first half. Their defense has improved remarkably. Although that's just the numbers, and I think some of that could be luck. I don't think they're actually a better team. I don't see how they could be a much better team. And anyway, the things have come together better for them in the second half.
Yeah, and I said they're a winning team. They were until Sunday when they were 500 on Sunday, and they lost that game, so they dropped under 500. But you know, they're still in third place. They're going to make the playoffs, it looks like. It looks like.
Well, who knows with the Carp? I mean, maybe they'll wake up and say, well, what have we got to lose? And then watch out.
I have no faith in that. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at this team. The other day, the general manager, what's his name?
Katsuhiro Nakamura.
Turned up dead in a Tokyo hotel.
Yeah, that's a
heart failure.
That's...
That was a shocker. Then that the next day, I saw the news that Skipper Wada was going to be, Yutaka Wada was going to be out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if that was related, you know, if the GM dying, somebody said, okay, now we can get rid of this stupid manager because I don't know if they were tied. I don't know what the deal is, if they're linked or not.
I doubt that. But
I doubted it too, because it was too soon. I mean, you wouldn't come out the next day and do that. But
not unless, you know, Wada was blackmailing Nakamura to keep his job.
Right.
okay. That linchpin is gone.
But I don't even, I mean, Wada has been a decent manager for them. I don't even know why they would get rid of him. He hasn't cost them anything in terms of where they are. I mean,
well, he's been.
You would could actually lobby him as the coach of the year, because while they were losing and they're still getting outscored by 60-plus runs, they're in position to go to the playoffs.
I don't know.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know how this is happening.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the problem with a Tigers manager is basically you need to be a really special type to be able to manage the team and shield it from all the nonsense that goes on around it. You know, Senichi Hoshino could do that. I don't think Nomura created probably more nonsense than the, you know, but it was his nonsense. He was in control of the nonsense.
Yeah, Katsuya Nomura.
Yeah. So it's hard for a manager to do that. It takes a special breed, and I don't think Wada's that. I don't think anybody. Okada was to some extent, because Okada was a big name and a level-headed guy. I mean, he said what Okada says dumb stuff all the time, but that's just his game. You know, he says dumb stuff, and he just goes out and lets the team play.
Well, I don't see anybody out there. And I'm not saying doesn't exist. I don't see anybody out there they could bring in who's going to do a better job than Wada. They might do the same. It's not going to change the players or the team.
I think there are guys who could do the job, but I just can't put my finger on them right now. I think if Okada wanted to do it, he could. But, you know, the Tigers have gotten over a big hurdle that he couldn't, which was win a game in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
I think Okada was very successful in because he could shield the players from the idiocy. Yeah. And that's a huge thing for the Tigers. Wada's sort of like, you know, Wada and Mayumi before him were basically posed this question every day when you lose. The media comes to you and say, who are you gonna give us to throw on the Barbie? You know, like you know, and as Matt Merton said, you know, when I do badly or the team does badly, I'm on the front page every day, and it's not because he's getting hits.
Yeah,
because they've you know, Wada's basically out there. His job is to decide who to sacrifice after every loss, and Okada would tell them to stuff themselves.
Yeah,
he'd tell a joke.
Well, we'll talk about the playoff picture in a few minutes. We've got to turn on the power first and listen to Power Tracks. All right, so joining us for Power Tracks again is Patrick Newman. Thank you very much, buddy, and thank you for getting up early in the morning.
Well, thank you for your schedule flexibility as well, and thanks for having me on.
All right, what do you have for us this week, this month?
This month, okay, well, number one is unchanged. SoftBank clinched the title, the Pacific League title, last week. And honestly, they're just winning so much, I'm not even paying attention anymore.
I'm just wondering, every time, you know, you'd spend all this time doing this research to tell us that SoftBank is really good.
That's the easy part of the research. It doesn't require much in-depth insight there.
All right, yeah, they were pretty. They're pretty awesome. Jim was away when they clinched, actually, so he didn't see any of the celebration and all that stuff. But yep. All right, SoftBank's good.
Number two won't be much of a surprise either. Yakult has kind of separated themselves from the pack a little bit. In the Central League, they're 11-4-1 on the month, so I have them second.
I was going to ask you, are you surprised by that?
A little bit. I think the key concern that I had with them was the starting pitching.
Does everyone?
Yeah, well, they haven't had Naruse, and they haven't had Arakaki and Tateyama.
Wait, time out. When did you start this side gig as a comedian?
It's always been a dream of mine.
Well, you're making it big time, man, with Naruse and Arakaki.
This is the most I've made you laugh. But they have to get starts from guys like Orlando Roman.
Right.
You know, and, you know, those guys, you know, you're going to laugh again, but you know what you're going to get out of those guys.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to.
They were giving them innings. So they have to find those innings from other pitchers that have been battling injury problems. And over the last month, they were doing well when I think Ishiyama, Ishikawa, or who's the third guy? I forget the third guy, but you know, when they were winning games when they had their better pitchers pitching, and when they had other guys in, they were losing. So they had a long stretch this season where they had, I think, 13 games in 15 days or something like that. And they're in the middle of that, and they're on a big winning streak. So a little bit surprising that the starting pitching is held up. The offense, you know, the offense is probably the best in the Central League. And now they're having Ballantyne back.
Right. So is it Yamanaka or Sugiura, one of those guys? you were thinking of?
Yamanaka has only pitched, I think, twice in the last month. And I think he got blown out by, I think, Hanshin last week.
Yeah, I see him pitching on the 20th of September, and they did end up losing that game 8-1. And then Sugiura won a game the next day. He won the game at Koshien against the Tigers.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. There is a blog post on mpbtracker.com, the first one in like a year, where I talk about that. So about what all the Central League contenders need to do to win. And that comes up in their kind of key variables. Right. So
Tateyama has been good.
Yeah, he's been good. I'll see how long his elbow holds up.
Yeah, I look at him like he's Masahiro Tanaka, thinking that at any time this thing could blow up, and that's the end. And that's probably the end of his career. But I thought he was done, you know, when he went in for the third Tommy John. So,
yeah, that's the difference. I think he's already had three recycled ligaments, and Masahiro Tanaka is still waiting for his first.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that elbow could blow at any minute. So hopefully. And it's too bad, because I really liked him as a pitcher when he was in his prime.
Okay.
So third, I have Yomiuri. Yomiuri is 9-6, and they're playing competitive games, and they've moved into second place, mostly on the slumps of Hanshin and Hiroshima. But they're doing what they need to do, just like Yakult is, and they're staying competitive, at least with the second class of teams there.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at, obviously we thought they were going to get more from Sugiuchi this year, and it looks like he's going in for surgery at some point. That's the last time I saw an article on him. But Michaelis has been really good for them. Pareda has actually been good. He hasn't been on the good side of the decisions all the time, but he has been pitching decent baseball for them. And Sugano is another one. He pitches, you know, fairly deep into games, but he hasn't been able to do the things to do to win. So he's won just as many as he has lost. But yeah, even after that, Takagi is getting battered around, but he doesn't lose the game. And then Taguchi, they would bring him in, and he gives them a decent start the other day in Nagoya. So they're doing all right. You know, they're always going to be dangerous, and I'm not counting them out for the title. I could see them winning over the weekend, and then, you know, pushing this thing to the very last day.
Well, when I looked at how the pennant race is going to shake out, I think a week or two ago, Yakult and Yomiuri had four games against each other. I don't know. I didn't look to see how many of those games have actually been played, but those are kind of some key games, because remember that it's not really who wins the most in Japan. It's who loses the fewest. So, yeah, so if
ties are good. Yomiuri,
yeah, ties are good. So if Yomiuri can put a few losses on Yakult's column, that makes a big difference for them.
Right.
So yeah, they're still in it.
Yeah, they go head-to-head on Saturday and Sunday. So we're taping this on Friday here in Japan. So they're going head-to-head on Saturday and Sunday, and those will be big games. But the Swallows have a two-game lead, and they can get swept and still end up coming, you know, getting some help from another team along the way. But they play one more big game at the end of the season on October 4th. They're scheduled to play at Tokyo Dome, and that'll be the last day of Central League games. So that could be it.
Yeah, and like we were saying last time we spoke, the Central is probably going to come down to the very last day, so it's still interesting.
That's what I'm hoping for. All right, so we usually skip through the middle guys, and we go right to the well, you got Choke City written here, so I guess we'll go straight to Hanshin. But I think Choke City is right now is Hiroshima.
Well.
Well, they're both down south, so I guess
it's, yeah, yeah. We'll
stop in one, and then you die in the other.
Yeah, I would say that Hiroshima is out choking Hanshin, but Hanshin 7-12 and 1 on the month. What really hurt them, I think, early on was that they played very poorly in, I think, the five games that they had against Hiroshima. I think it was something like 1-3-1 or something like that.
Yeah, they had a series at home even that they didn't do well in.
Yeah, they had three games on the road with Hiroshima and three at home, and one of them got rained out, and they performed very poorly in all those games, so that hurt them. And then they beat Hiroshima last night, which is why I bumped them from 10th to or from 11th to 10th. I gave them the upgrade on that one, but you know, this is a team with some offensive question marks, and the rotation is going to give them good predictable innings with Fujinami and Messenger and even Nomi and you know all the different weapons they have there, but offensively they're struggling. And Merton hit a home run the other day, so that's promising. But not doing what they need to do.
Okay, and then you talked about Hiroshima, and they've lost 7 out of 8 now. Last time they won was September 21st. That was Monday, and then before that was September 15th. And they've just been awful. And I'd said on the show that they were going to crush their fans' hearts, and that's exactly what they've been doing.
Yeah, and see, I had the opposite tack there. They opened the month well, but they've just been performing horribly over the last 10 days or so. And I think they've lost themselves out of the race. So for me, it's like, I picked them to win the Central. And as recently as a couple. Yeah, it's like for me, it's like waking up every morning and watching a stock I own go down. I think
sell.
Well, I already sold on Oryx. I took my loss there.
Took about probably 2.5 weeks of the season to sell on that one.
yeah, pretty much.
And then you have the Eagles at the very bottom here.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are just, they're just in a bad way. And the weather's been bad in Sendai. Their stadium is flooding out and, they're losing. And I think even a member of their front office died. So they're just having a miserable season. So one bright spot I see for them right now is Anraku, whose debut is coming up. So hopefully he makes it interesting a little bit.
So, Anraku coming up and the fact that he has been down in the on the farm this whole time. I mean, I think I mentioned it before. I thought he'd at least get a start at some point. But Dave Okubo, the skipper, stepping down and then Anraku finally getting a start. I think that's all connected. And I think something is amiss in Sendai. I don't know what's going on there. And I don't know what's going on in Hyogo Prefecture either, because Yutaka Wada, the skipper of the Tigers, is not going to be extended. So it's all kind of weird. There's some under the table, behind the door, kind of mess going on somewhere.
Yeah, there always is. So, Rakuten's just had a bad year, and that's a shame. But hopefully Anraku does well, and they have a good draft, and maybe sign a couple of good free agents, and maybe they're back in the mix next year. You never know.
All right. So it sounds great. Thank you very much. And we'll have you on another time, probably the week of October 5th, before the playoffs start. And we'll talk about what the numbers tell you.
Okay. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right. We appreciate you doing it, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks, Patrick. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it. So, yeah, he talked about SoftBank being good. He talked about the Eagles being bad, the Carp being horrible. Choke City, he calls Hanshin. I love that, but there are a lot of choke cities, as I was saying, and it doesn't have anything to do with the smog.
True enough.
But as we did mention, the Carp won that weekend series with the Tigers, winning on Saturday and Sunday, so that's good for them. But they just been awful. He said that Patrick wrote, he always gives me a list of the teams, and he said Hiroshima Bats are on life support. I think they're on death support.
Hashtag high heat.
I agree with you there. I think it's the Tigers and Carp are trying to see who could play the worst, and there's something there. It's like they're trying to out choke each other.
Yeah, it's awful. So looking at the CL race then, now obviously the Yakult Swallows, they split their weekend series with the Giants at Tokyo Dome, and that was good. And they won today 2-1, and basically seized control of the CL. Their magic number is at 3, and this is as we go into games on Monday.
Right.
The Giants, I don't know, it was a really entertaining game. I don't know how much you got to see Masanori Ishikawa.
I did. I watched the whole game, actually.
Okay, Masanori Ishikawa got his 13th win. Now, where'd that come from? Because that's not something you re-predict before the season.
Where did pitcher of the month Masanori Ishikawa come from?
That's right, yeah.
5-0 this month.
He's up there, yeah.
Well, he's 5-0, but he's a 5-0. He's a soft 5-0 because you look at – 5 innings, 6 innings, 7 innings, 6 innings.
And then today, 5 innings again. So, yeah, I don't know, but he's got 13 wins. He's got a good ERA for the season. You never know what he might be.
No, he's unpredictable. I mean, he was not very good, but he wasn't bad. I mean, he can be, I don't know, his stuff can on occasion is pretty good. But basically, he's a guy who goes out there and he battles, and some days he just doesn't have enough to work with.
Yep. So, you know, Tony Barnett, who during the week passed 3 relievers for the club, the name single him? Season club, let's name them.
Yeah.
Shingo Takatsu.
Yeah.
Lim Chang Young, and then somebody, Ishikawa Ishihara or somebody. No, Kazuhisa somebody, Ishii.
That makes 4, actually. I don't think Lim Chang Young was one of them. Okay, it was Shingo Takatsu, the current pitching coach.
Okay.
Was Ryota Rocket Boy Igarashi.
Okay.
And Hirotoshi Ishii.
Ishii, yeah, and not Kazuhisa.
Yeah, when they had a K Ishii and a H Ishii.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was close. I got 2 out of 3. That you ain't did? Good. So, yeah, he's got the single season save record now. He got his 39th on Sunday.
He was a little pumped up there today?
He was jacked up when he got that last out. Yeah, he certainly was.
I thought the mound was on fire.
I never saw that dance before. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention. You know, when the game's over, I'm off to the next game. You know, I changed the channel, so maybe I haven't seen the dance enough. But I liked it. It was good. I was happy for him.
It was an entertaining game. It was a pulsating game.
Now, that's the kind of game where, you know, I think both teams used 6 pitchers each, so that was 12, I think.
The Giants were down to their last position player on the bench. He was an all-star. They had an all-star on the bench, so that's a good sign for him.
Who was it?
Takanori Suzuki.
Okay.
Takahiro Suzuki, excuse me.
You call him an all-star. I call him a no-star anyway. You know, they play each other on October 4th, which would be a week from today when we're taping.
And season finale could still be meaningful, but looks less so.
Less so, yeah, after this. The magic number is 3. The Swallows have 5 games left. The Giants have 4 games to play. And so it's going to be fun. The Carp, you know, they were hanging around, like I said. I'm just, you know, I see a fat lady with a mic and I see an Undertaker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all over but the funeral, you know.
Yeah,
they're zombies, I think.
But, geez, you just don't know what these
guys
are. I mean, we've been writing them off for the last 3 weeks, and then
Actually written them off. I've been saying I want to write them off,
but I cannot sign.
I cannot put my name on the bottom line.
Yeah, every time we write them off, some woman with a Carp shirt steals the pen.
But I can tell you this: I like the way Swallows manager Mitsuru Manata managed the game today, because it doesn't really matter. They're gonna have to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
In the CLCS, it's either going to be them against the Tigers or them against the Giants again. It might be at Tokyo Dome. It's probably going to be at Jingu. So he said, look, I'm going to take these guys out. I'm going to manage this like it's a playoff game, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and I'm going to see who's successful, and I'm getting ready for the playoffs. And I really like that.
I did too. I thought it was a playoff atmosphere. He took out yesterday when he left Orlando Roman in there to lose. And today he said, I'm not going to let you lose it. I'll let somebody else lose it for you. And then Logan Andrasek, same thing. And he had some, you know, I didn't have my lip reading mode on, but
he had some mumblings.
Yeah, he had some
mumblings and grumblings.
he was mouthing some things, you know. But he, you know, I'll tell you, at the end of the day, Tony gets the last 2 strikeouts and he's there, you know, he's happy as a puppy. So, you know, that's the way it's got to be. You know, you want to be in the game. And your team wins, that's the happiest thing. So good for all those guys. You got to love. And I agree, Monaco, what a great job he and his coaching. I've talked about his coaching staff all year. But, yeah, what a good job he's done. So.
All right. In the Pacific League, the injuries are probably just killing the Marines, but they won't die either. Their closer, Yuji Nishino, he's out. I guess he's going to be done for the year.
Yeah.
He's got a broken or chipped bone or a cracked bone. And also former closer or part-time closer. I don't know what label the Cebu Lions had on him, but Tomomi Takahashi, he's also out for the Lions. He did the same thing. I think they both stuck their legs out to try to, or maybe got their legs stuck in a line drive. I don't know which one it was for both of them.
I think they got too excited by Japan's World Cup rugby win over South Africa and are kicking rugby balls for the wrong reasons.
And then today we learned that ace Takayuki Kishi is going to be sidelined with an oblique issue, but I think that they're pretty much, with their victory today on Sunday, that they're pretty much, I think they can go 1-2 and still the Marines have to win just about every game to get in.
Right. Well, the Marines, yeah, and they've still got, well, the big game is tomorrow. The Lions and Marines, that's the last game they play, and then the Marines still have a couple of games against the Fighters. And I think they've got one game left against Rakuten. And the Lions, I think, are going to finish against the Buffaloes.
Yeah, I mean, you laugh. I said it when the week that you weren't on. I don't think these are going to be easy games by
any chance
for anybody. But, it's certainly better than playing the hungover Hawks. But I think I still think the Hawks are not, you know, they're just playing these things like practice games anyway. So, but they've been doing that since May.
Pretty much. I don't think the Hawks are playing their A game now, but, you know, they still like to win and they got, you know, they can beat you pretty much with one arm tied behind their back.
Yeah.
So, it's a tougher schedule for the Marines, and I think it's going to be hard for the Lions. And also, Nakamura still isn't playing. Okay, so he is back, but you know they still got Watson. You know, this is the team that had been depending on. I think Ryota Waki is hurt as well, the guy who saved.
Yeah, and you said bad things about him, and I didn't defend him because I felt the same way. But he was playing well for them. He was still producing.
He was like the guy who shouldn't be producing, who doesn't really produce. But you have to wonder, is that a, you know, is that an artifact of the fact that the Giants never thought he could, so they never let him?
No. He was just having a good stretch. We all know that.
So yeah.
But is he? I think he's done for the season.
I think he's done. So he's out. Now they got Naoto Watanabe playing in that third base, first base role, and he's basically in a position where, well, knowing Tanabe, he probably said, "Look, I know you're not you're not going to hit 60 home runs in a year or anything. You're not going to hit six. You know, I'll be lucky if you hit one. So just play your game." And, you know, and I imagine he said the same thing to Waki. Just do what you do. And, you know, we're happy with that. And to be honest, you know, if you're a 10-game stretch and, you know, the difference between Waki and Nakamura or Naoto Watanabe and Nakamura is really not all that big. But, you know, he just goes in and he's been playing well for him, and just as Wakia played well for him. So
yeah, it's just weird to see him. I mean, you know, he was a forgotten guy. This is a guy who was traded from Yokohama to the Eagles, as I remember.
Yeah, from the Eagles to Yokohama, yeah. And then from the Yokohama to, I think, for Shuichiro Osada or maybe a cell phone bill.
And we'll throw in a bag of peanuts and some Cracker Jack just to be nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's amazing that he can still produce. And, I mean, you know, that little swing and everything. But anyway, yeah, he's doing okay. He's okay, so he's helping him.
So this is what they're going. You know, they're pretty banged up. The Marines are pretty banged up, and it's really hard to see either of those teams beating the Fighters or the Hawks.
That's what I was going to say. Well, the thing is, with every injury, it just makes the Fighters' job to get through the first round into the final stage a lot easier. And that's all I'm seeing. So, but we have to play the games out. You know, you never know.
It's like, you know, if we finish third, you know, we're going to get some crab up in Sapporo.
Right.
You know, they're sort of like the Japan. They're sort of playing like the Japan 2013 national team at the WBC. Well, let's go to San Francisco, you know, and taste the sourdough. And then, you know, after that, who cares?
Right. All right. One of the notes was the Barnett team save record. And the other note that I wanted to get in real quick was Rick VandenHerck of the SoftBank Hawks saw his winning streak not snapped. Mm-hmm. And it was about to be snapped until Yuya Hasegawa hit a home run up in Sapporo Dome this past week. I forgot what day it was. And so I tweeted immediately, "Oh, VandenHerck is off the VandenHook."
Wow. I don't want to add anything to that because I think that that little bit is priceless.
That was Wednesday. Yeah, it had to be Wednesday because that's when I was at the...
I'm glad you remembered it. That made it a lot better.
Hashtag high heat.
I hope nothing got caught in the listeners' ears there.
Yeah, I might have to send them all Q-tips or something.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, the first one is another MP3, and I can't tell you guys how much we love the MP3s. Thanks a lot.
Mm.
This is from @GraveyardBall.
Previously, there was a question about the odds of Kenta Maeda being posted by the Carp. Who are some names that MLB fans can look forward to who can be posted within the next 6 to 7 years, not named Kenta Maeda and Shohei Ohtani?
Well, thank you for the MP3.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again. We always appreciate it.
Interesting question.
Now, the wording can be posted within the next 6 to 7 years. So it's very, very carefully worded here.
Mm.
What did you...
Well, first of all, I was thinking, well, it's a great question because we spend so much time talking about Shohei Ohtani and Kenta Maeda. But I think two guys who really... you basically, if it's a position player, you have to be looking at a guy who came out of high school and made an impact within a couple of years.
Yeah, I was thinking 6 to 7 years. We don't; these guys are kids right now. Because, but he said within, so I think that's the key. Not,
I think two guys are fairly obvious. And another thing is they have to be with a team. You know, you're not looking at guys who come out of college because then you're in that dynamic of the Yoshio Itoi bit where the guy's 30 before he can be they're going to post him. So right. I think Yuki Inagita, well, first of all, he plays for the Hawks and they don't post anybody.
Right.
So, but even if he were playing for another team, he'd probably be of an age where he wouldn't be as prime a prospect. Where I think the opposite is Tetsuto Yamada, the Swallows. I think he's a dead ringer to be posted. And so is Tomi Omori of the Lions.
Yeah, yeah, I had him on my list as well. And the question, I understand it, and I think these guys, because they have a website, and
sure.
I think they pretty much know the guys on the list. But
yeah.
The problem with the question is that $20 million for a posting fee is just chump change. And we talked about this with the Maeda question.
Well, it is for a pitcher, but it's not for a hitter. Not from Japan, it's not.
Right, but
the problem is the opposite because the hitters have so much value in Japan.
Right.
So little value in the majors, whereas the pitchers are pretty much a level. It's the opposite.
Right.
They have much more value in the majors.
So then it's still, I mean, for $20 million.
Right.
It's just not enough to give up a player of Yanagita status who's going to help you every day.
Well, you're not because of the Hawks don't give up anyway.
Well, I would say if, let's say,
right.
He was on a different team.
That was the Yoshio Itoi dilemma. This is a guy who could have played in the majors, no doubt about it, 3 years ago. He could have played in the majors. But he was worth, you know, the posting fee the Fighters would have got for him would have been of like $5 or $6 million, which wouldn't have been worth it for them because he was their best player.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
So right.
I'm not going to do it. The other players I looked at were guys who are – I mean, I just looked at the Samurai Japan team. I mean, because mm-hmm. that's basically – they went young anyway with that team. So
right.
The aforementioned Fujinami, Ryosuke, Kikuchi, one of my favorite players.
He's not young.
But, I mean, they would consider posting him because he's not young and – I don't know that they would use the $20 million, but I mean, I just don't see anybody out there who's going to be posted for $20 million.
Bucks. Well, not for 20, no.
No.
You know, there's always the possibility. I've talked with this with some executives and agents and so on. Is there's, you know, and I have heard that teams are working on ways to get around it. But I think obviously is to find a way for the player to buy out his contract.
Yeah,
and then he becomes a free agent, and he pays. You know, he'll pay more. If I was Kenta Maeda, I'd be, and they said, look, we're not going to let you go for $20 million, but if you give us $30 million, put it in an escrow account, and we'll work something out, then you can be a free agent.
The other guy, Shogo Akiyama, an MLB front office exec, told me that he rates really high as an everyday player.
Well, is his age still.
Yeah, his age is up there, but that he's got a good arm, which I'm really not sold on the arm.
No.
The exec told me that he's got plus speed, and I really don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
I've seen him run. I don't think so. But
he's got average, better than average speed in the majors. He's got a average for a center fielder. He's got a pretty ordinary arm.
I think so. That's where I would range it.
A hitter, that strike zone coverage and the plate discipline he showed this year, if it's real, if it sticks around more, yeah. He's 25, so it would be posted basically 2019. You know, when he's the problem with posting these guys when they're 28, 29 is you need some guy who's just a flat out natural hitter with tremendous bat speed who can make the adjustments at the age of 29. And most guys can't.
Mm.
But being an outfielder helps because outfielders can make the transition. Now, you know, it's going to be a matter of how smart he is and able to maintain his physical condition and how much he can adjust and adapt. And I think this year was a good sign that he can raise his game a notch because he was pretty much – we'd pretty much seen what he could do and how much this is a statistical fluke and how much is it real growth remains to be seen. You know, if he comes out and he hits 340 or does better next year, then yes, I would say he's a poster.
Yeah, I talked to the batting coach. I did a blog post on him as well when I spoke to him, and I spoke to the batting coach, and the batting coach said, well, he said basically – it's his first year hitting like this. Let's just cool the jets and see if he can do this more consistently. Then we'll be sold on what he is. So anyway, let's get to the next question. And this is from, I don't know where it's from. I forgot. I don't know if it was Twitter. I thought it was Facebook. I thought it was email. I've searched everywhere. I don't know. But I have the important things, which are the questions. So whoever it is who sent it in, thank you very much.
Raise your hand and tell us who it was. So
just remind me. Right, raise your hand. All right.
Extra Q-tips or something.
All right, so the first one was, why don't the Central and Pacific Leagues have more interleague play? It must be monotonous for players and fans to see the same teams so often. And I can tell you this, listener.
Mr. Listener. As Mr. Listener.
Hey, it could be Ms. Buddy.
Listener, okay, fair enough.
I thought the same thing when I looked at the schedule for my first full season in Japan, and that was 1991, and I'm thinking, you know, 1 week the Dragons would be playing the Carpet Home, the next week the Dragons would be playing at Shimin Kyuji, or Citizens Stadium as it was called back then. Mm-hmm. The same pitching matchups, the same guys would be throwing, and I thought, what are we doing here? So I loved the idea of interleague at that time, and the first year, I think there were 36 games.
Correct.
In 2005, and the schedule's been dwindling since then. I thought the 36 were awesome, but the teams complained about travel, schedules, additional preparation. Mm. And let's not forget that the CL teams had to give up those matchups against the Giants, and so all that gate money, although the Tigers, you know, do travel well, and so do the Chiba Lotte fans travel well. But that's something to keep in mind. But I don't know. I would like to see more games and maybe even two sessions of interleague. But it doesn't seem to be going over well with the teams. But the fans,
it doesn't seem to be going over well with the Central League. But their fans are okay with it. It's just that the Central League didn't want it in the first place. The interleague play is an artifact of the 2004 strike. It was essentially the Pacific
artifact.
Byproduct.
Okay.
It's a part of the settlement. The Pacific League always wanted interleague play. The Central League didn't want it for the reasons that John stated. Now, as a result, as a part of the settlement, because the Pacific League teams were losing more money, it was felt it was something to help keep the Pacific League afloat. So the players went for that. Now, the players apparently never dreamed, according to and I want to mention that we had, in addition to Katsuhiro Nakamura, we had a really sad week because my friend Toru Matsubara, the secretary general of the Japan Professional Baseball Players Association, died. And he was basically the organizer, the man who helped the players, you know, sort out, you know, how they were going to strike. And, you know, and he, of course, it was a really painful thing for him to do because he loves the game so much. Mm. And he's a great guy, and I really miss him. I miss him already. And so he passed away, and he said, he told me, I did a long interview with him in December, and he told me that we never dreamed that it would be a 36-cent league, a 36-game interleague. You know, we would have been happy with like 12.
Right.
So they got their wish because it went from 36, and the Central League said this isn't working because it's taking away from the league games. Okay, so the Pacific League said, well, but 36 is a nice, easy, manageable number. And then so the Central League says, no, we should do 24. So they did 24 for a while with these sets of two-game home and away series. And then they said, Pacific League, your 24-game solution is really bad. Now, remember, this is a Central League solution. So this 24 games you guys came up with is a horrible idea. So we have to fix it. So as the Central League does, everything bad belongs to the Pacific League until they adopt it. And then it's their idea. So anyway, so now they've got an 18-game interleague. But, you know, the attendance for the interleague has basically improved every single year. You know, the Central League team started out telling the fans it was a joke.
Right.
And I know the Dragons used to schedule half of their interleague games at little local ballparks, thinking they weren't going to draw. And then they pointed to their poor attendance. Our attendance is terrible in the interleague, you know, because we only got 25,000 and, you know, we got 22,000 in a park that seats 23.
Yeah.
So
it was poor.
Yeah, but it's basically against their principles, you know, and they have such high principles in the Central League.
Okay. And the next question this listener sent in was, has there ever been any talk of merging the Korean and or Taiwan leagues with the Japan League? Do they have an Asian World Series? Jim?
Well, they had the Asian Series for a while. It has essentially run its course now.
It started in 2005, I believe.
It started in 2005, correct, with when the Chiba Marines were the first team to win it. And it was an interesting idea, but it just the time was not quite ripe for that. Now, have there been talk about merging the leagues? There has been. And one of the – and probably the most interesting thing, which had a lot of traction about 10 years ago, was the idea of MLB coming in and essentially creating an MLB Asian division in which teams would travel back and forth across the Pacific. And that was a very interesting idea. They've shied away from that because I think they've looked at cheaper ways to market merchandise. Without all the hassle, and that's to build up to hold other events and so on and so forth and do the operate their development centers in China, which is their goal to open up the Asian market is by developing Chinese players so Chinese people buy MLB merchandise.
Yes, led around by the almighty dollar.
It's shocking.
It was fun. The Asian Series, I think, was fun for about 3 years, but then the NPV teams were winning without their import players, and I think the fun kind of got lost when most of the players on the NPV teams turned out to be or started to be bench guys and farm players.
Right.
And
nobody showed up for the teams. Nobody showed up unless it was their country's team playing. When Konami walked out, gave up at the sponsorship, when it stopped, they stopped playing for the Konami Cup and they started playing for the whatever cup, the Peanut Cup or the Spittoon or whatever.
Okay.
It disappeared, and then it resurfaced in Korea and Taiwan, and then it disappeared 2 years ago when it was going to conflict with the with Japan's. When Samurai Japan developed into a national team, and they wanted to use November as their national team slot, the Asian Series basically disappeared.
Yeah, and my thing is looking at, I don't know much about the Taiwanese league. The only thing I remember is Manny Ramirez playing over there a little bit, and that there were very few teams, like four. And yeah. I can't see Japan and Taiwan and Korea sitting at a table and agreeing on rules and methods.
Not when Korea has instant replay and Japan doesn't.
Yeah, and what ball to use and how many games to play and all this stuff, where to play the games.
That's a good
point. I can't see that happening, so I don't know when that might happen. So that was my idea about an Asian league would be no. problem.
I would love to see it, but it's a long way off. I mean, they can't even agree on, you know, what they want to do within the Central League.
Right. Okay, so and this listener sent in one more question, and this is going to have to be the end, and we do have a holdover question. We have actually a couple of holdover questions, so we will get to them next week. But the last question was, where can I find the run differentials and other statistics in English for MPB on the internet? Jim?
You're asking the wrong person, because I never look for stuff in English.
I tried to look up, well, actually, all I did was go to the MPB site and look it up, but I'm sure there's some listeners here okay. who have some of the English information.
MPB Reddit.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were out of steam there. I thought you were dwindling. You needed a fresh start there.
Is that what you think every time you do that? No. Never mind.
Hashtag high heat.
So MPB Reddit has, he's a guy, and it's at MPB_REDDIT, and he has been putting up some statistics for leaders. He puts up some standings, not all the time, but periodically, so he might know where to go. So there's probably some listeners out there who know where to go to get the information. So if you're listening, please send us a hashtag high heat and let us know where we can find the statistics, including run differentials online. I did look on the MPB site.
Somebody asked me, it wasn't high heated or anything, about where to find the...
high heated.
Okay, maybe it was microwaved. Okay, give me a break. Anyway, he wanted to know where he could find the starting pitcher matchups in English, and I didn't have an answer for that. So if anybody knows that one... you know, feel free to jump in.
Anyone else that has a question or a comment, send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com or tweet us at #highheat@jbwpodcast. And we are getting ready for that 200th episode, so let us know your favorite memories at #jbwmemories. Thank you very much for hanging in there for a long show. Thank you very much, Patrick Newman. And we'll have him back in another couple weeks here, just before the playoffs start. And we'll talk about who's hot going into the playoffs or who we expect to be hot. How's that? We'll have the power tracks for the playoff version. And that'll probably be the last of the year. And so
I'm feeling more powerful already.
Well, it's going to be a great playoffs, I think, in the Central League. I don't know about the Pacific League. And then after that, I think it's going to be real quick in the Japan series. So we'll see how it goes, though. You gotta play the games out.
Indeed you do.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.